Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
To Deadly Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns. You know at BBM, Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. You can give us a call on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Have your saying yarn up strong. To Deadly Mob, acknowledge our traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Jump straight in. Got the beautiful ladies from Murrawa Law. We have Michaela, and she brought a bodyguard, Fern. Hey, ladies. How
are we?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Fern.
Good morning.
Nice to meet you, Fern. So you're new to the team?
I am, yes.
Okay, so who's Fern? Where are you from? Tell us your story there, sister, please, before we get into it.
I was born on the Atherton Tablelands.
Hillbilly girl.
Hillbilly girl, yep, from way back. I've been living in Cairns for probably about the last 18 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, two kids, married, mm-hmm. local plumber. Don't hold that against him.
Local plumber. Yep, beautiful. Yep, and so, and then the space of, legality.
Yeah,
law.
Working at Murrawa Law since the end of last month.
Okay.
It's awesome. Love it. Yeah.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you.
Michaela, yes, how long have you been there now? And qualified lawyer you are.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
April. So Fern and I are both going to be qualified in April.
Oh, you're both. Okay, so you're not there yet.
Not there yet, still waiting.
So you're my level at the moment.
Yeah,
we're about to step
totally.
Up. About to step up.
But yeah, no, I've been with Murrawa Law since March last year, so yeah.
Okay, deadly beautiful. Now, girls, our topic today, High Court decision, can an Aboriginal person be an alien?
Yeah.
To me, that's a stupid question.
I know.
As a black man on
the fact
my
that
country.
That has to go to court.
Thank you. So, has this raised its ugly head? Well, only just recently, but let's talk about that statement. Can an Aboriginal person be an alien?
Mm. Yes.
We'll start with you, Fern. Yes.
On the 11th of January this year, the High Court of Australia had to decide in the case of Love and the Commonwealth of Australia and Toms and the Commonwealth of Australia, whether or not Aboriginal persons can be deported under the Migration Act of 1958, another Commonwealth piece of legislation, using the alien power that's in Section 51 19 of the Constitution.
Okay, and when you're talking Constitution and section and what have you, you lost me there. all I'm picking up is alien,
yes.
ET,
yeah.
Go home. No, not if you're an Aboriginal person. I don't get my back up here. But, Michelle, what does the alien mean, Michaela?
Yeah, so as you might be aware, the Constitution is the founding document of Australia, which came into effect, you know, prior to us being here, or after us being here. So it came into effect on the 1st of January 1901. So this document sets out a number of powers, including the alien power, which is what we were just talking about. So the Section 51 is the source of the Commonwealth's power to write legislation about non-citizens, so, if you know, for people overseas, those living in and also residing in or coming to Australia, and what privileges or rights these particular people will have. So this power is how the Commonwealth wrote, amends and also enforces the Migration Act, and as you can imagine has seen a lot of action through Australia's legal system so far, as with this case.
So what was the case about?
Yeah, so the High Court decided the two different cases at the same time, so the case of Love and the case of Toms. So both cases had substantially similar facts, so they were combined into one hearing to save money and time. So Mr. Love and Mr. Toms both identified as Aboriginal Australians, but they were born overseas. So one of them was born in PNG and the other in New Zealand. The men did not seek to become Australian citizens as they were recognised as members of their Aboriginal community, so respected by their elders and, you know...
They were recognised by their members.
That's right. So Mr. Love and Mr. Toms were imprisoned for separate unrelated criminal charges, and the government was attempting to deport them overseas by relying on that alien power in the Constitution and also relying on the Migration Act as well. So the government argued that since the men were not Australian citizens, they were considered aliens and could be deported. So that's why this case has come about.
And hence our topic today.
Yes.
Fern, what did the High Court decide?
So they found in a 4-3 majority decision that Aboriginal persons cannot be deported under the Migration Act, which I think most Aboriginal persons probably would have already known.
Well, thank you. Thank you. How you say, take my land but don't take my rights. Yeah. All my land.
All my land, yeah.
There you go, exactly. So the general gist of it.
The general gist of the decision was that a person could only be deported under the alien power if that person was found to be an alien. And it's not open to find to the government to find Indigenous Australians were aliens. Because of what we were just talking about, obviously. This is because the Indigenous Australians' connection to the land predates Federation. And a finding that Parliament could deport Aboriginal Australians under this power would be allowing the Commonwealth to recite itself into power. You know, say it had power, like because it said it had power.
Sure.
Which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Thank you. Michaela, what does this decision mean for Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders?
So the case recognises that Aboriginal people who have community acceptance, regardless of where they are born, will have protection from deportation. So no, we're not going to be deported overseas because we're considered aliens. I mean, we were here first. This is our land. Always was, always will be.
Our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander identity...
Yeah, that's right.
...is through our elders, through our family, through our mob.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And our mob claim us and know us and end of conversation.
Yeah, it should have been an end of a conversation.
Yeah. No birth certificate, nothing.
Yes.
Uncle Naomi.
Yes. Yeah. So the Law Council of Australia's President Pauline Wright also said the decision flowed from the precedent set by Mabo and confirmed that the determination of whether or not a person is a member of an Aboriginal group is outside the power of the government. There's another point that was made by Professor Dean Sanders. He agreed that the decision affirms that those of us who are born with Aboriginal blood, live as Aboriginal people and are accepted by our community, have an inalienable identity.
Inalienable identity.
Yes. No, so that's interesting. however, he's also noted that this decision also has the potential to
exacerbate.
Yeah.
So you always have problems with words too. Yeah. I thought it was just a non-educated brother he's sitting across from you, but thank you. That's good. Continue. That's why I let you say that word.
Yeah. Identity politics of Aboriginality. So he argued that the decision may create waves in this area. Although Mr. Love had the acceptance of one community elder, the majority, so all of the four judges, did not find that Mr. Love satisfied the acceptance by the community test. So it's this new test that's come out. So this decision may be put forward in future cases and as an example of the minimum threshold a person requires to pass this acceptance test.
Okay. Fern, Justice Elderman's separate judgment. What's that about?
Yeah, well, Justice Elderman gave a separate sort of judgment that was, he used like a lot of strong language in it. It's a great judgment to read if you're into that.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he used his separate majority judgment to analyse a child's metaphysical ties to Australia. He held that an Aboriginal child whose genealogy and identity includes a spiritual connection forged over tens of thousands of years between a person and Australian land or Mother Nature. Like, it can't be questioned.
Well, it can't be questioned. When we're talking about the spirituality connection, I mean, yeah, that's right. You know what I mean? Mm. Where's the signature for that?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like within my soul.
That's right.
Yeah, it's an unquestionable kind of connection, which is it's really good to hear from... I mean, one of the justices, at least.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah. It's good to hear from a person in a space in a legal, studious type situation,
yeah,
platform.
Right.
Speaking about the spiritual side, which we as First Nation people operate in,
yeah, mm-hmm.
live
yeah.
in.
Yep.
Yes.
Daily.
Daily.
Yeah.
60,000 years.
Yeah.
Michaela, so continue on with our conversation, yeah, deep in the law side of things, yep. We paused there for a second, sorry.
Sorry.
I'm just saying in regards to, look, a very deadly conversation because of this just arisen, like I said, in early January, I think this situation with the love and Tom's came to the table, so to speak. But they were using the Aboriginal Lully as a tool to save themselves being deported.
Yeah.
Mm.
Trying to rely on that.
Yeah.
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 And they were successful in doing so.
Mm. Thank you. And there it is. Fantastic. I mean, it's funny too when we're talking about alien the can an Aboriginal person be an alien is the topic is what we're talking about with Mara Law here. But in the Constitution, Section 51, isn't it ironic? Section 51, and they're in America, they got the Section 51, and there's so-called aliens down below.
Oh, yeah.
The
Area 51.
Area 51. That's right. It's what triggered my mind, you
yeah.
know what I mean? And here we're talking about the Australian Constitution and Section 51. We're talking about alien. Can an Aboriginal person be alien? So it's how the planets line up, so to speak,
yeah.
in regard to a topic in our conversation, girls. I know my brain's a bit warped, but I think along those lines and different angles and
yeah.
trying to add to the conversation is what I'm trying to do. But I'm the host, so I can add to
yes,
the conversation.
You can.
Thank you. Girls, thank you. Not the towel wagging the dog here. There you go. Girls, thank you so very much. Who's Mara Law?
So Mara Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. So if you'd like to contact us, you can call us on 4041-3088. However, if you have any questions about immigration, which is a highly specialised area of law,
mm-hmm.
we recommend you contact your law society. So in Queensland, that's the Queensland Law Society, and their number is 1300-367-757.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And Fern saw the light, joined the team. Yep, there it is.
It's great to have Mara her.
Law, great to have her. Fantastic. A big shout out to your beautiful team.
Yes, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, fantastic team. And that's Cairns. Townsville.
And Brisbane.
Yep. Okay. And I was talking to lovely Leah, the director of the corporation, that she mentioned Townsville. And I didn't know that happened. And like, and you got to let me know
yeah.
what's happening.
We'll keep you in the loop.
You know? So if you come back next week and it's Cairns, Townsville, Brisbane and Cloncurry, then please.
We'll let you know.
Let me know. Include me. Girls, great talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having
and
us.
And a very deadly topic right there, Too Deadly. Thank you very much, girls.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you, Fern.
You too.
All right, Too Deadly. A beautiful yarn, a deadly yarn. And when we're talking about can an Aboriginal person be an alien, Murray about to like put finger in your throat there and think, well, how? Don't go there. But it was a good conversation as per that court case came up with the PNG brother and the New Zealand brother. That's Mr. Love and Mr. Toms. And so one love to you, Mob. Add to the conversation. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Murray, want to hear what you got to say here on your daily program. Don't touch that dial. Too deadly. Stay black. Stay deadly. Stay strong. Me and my love.
Shapes of average ancestors as the daylight leaves the sky.
sometimes I think we're parvos here.
Hey, Imala, Yothi Indi here on your Deadly program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob? That deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have us over calling that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, empowering Indigenous researchers to have a voice, a unique program empowering Indigenous researchers to engage in public discourse through the Australian media will begin on Monday with 11 scientists from around the nation and converging on SBS NITV studios in Sydney for 2 days of intense training. We're going to catch up with Yana with Dr. Michelle Abovell on the line. Dr. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Sister, first of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so my mob are Wiradjuri mob from New South Wales, but I've grown up here on Worimi country.
All right, fantastic. So we're talking about a space, and the space we're talking is IMP, the Indigenous Media Mentoring Program. So tell us about it and tell us about how Indigenous people, researchers should engage and have a voice as such.
Yeah, look, we did the program last week, so we're sort of at the end now. I can have a yarn about what it was like. Researchers, we sit in a little world all of our own, writing and researching, and sometimes we're not very good at then telling the world what we found the right way. We sometimes spin the yarn about the wrong sorts of things. So this was bringing a lot of mob together that are doing science research and talking about how we can then get it out there and tell the world about what we're learning and what we're doing.
And what areas are we talking about when you're saying researching?
Oh, we had people from all over. We had geographists, we had marine biologists. I do what's called behavioural science, implementation science. We had a real diverse
good
group.
And so what you're saying is with all the professionals at the table and researching and what they find is then bring it to the table, so to speak, to let the public know.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a different world, media, and knowing what to take to the media, how to pitch it to the media, how to tell your story. That's what the 2 days was really about, how we can make sure that we get the message across about what we're doing, particularly if we're working with our mob and researching with our mob, how we then make that known to the whole of Australia or even international.
Well, knowledge is power, isn't it? And so, and to empower the people to have a platform so the knowledge can be transferred is what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. Sure is.
So it was 2 days workshop, was it, with all the particular professionals at the table?
Yes.
And we're talking First Nation professionals?
Absolutely. Everyone.
Good. Fantastic. And so how often do you meet, or is this the inaugural one?
Yeah, well, these are run every year, but this is the first time we got together. So there was a call out that the director here at the University of Newcastle sent over to me. So any researchers could apply, or people studying to be a researcher could apply and put their names down, and they brought us all together. So some of us knew each other and other ones first time we met.
Sure. So are we talking about the researchers and what they found, or, as you alluded to, how to get this information across the airways, if not on screen?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Understanding not about exactly what we do, but being able to know how we can share what we do on TV, on radio, even in writing, but in different ways to our normal sort of research approach.
So it would have been like eyes and ears open in regard to looking at individuals and how they perform in having that information delivered as such. So you would have picked up some ideas there and then sort of massage what's at the table to make that a stronger vehicle, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, some of us are much better at it than others. some of us, I can be hilarious in a situation, but when I have to talk about research and be serious, it's a lot harder, you know, if I'm just sitting around spinning the yarn.
Tripping over your words.
As anything.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
They want to talk about my research, and I'm like, oh.
Hey, knuckles.
Yeah.
Makes it hard.
Get it insane.
Shut up. Look, that's fantastic. And look, it's a very important space. And so when we talk about First Nation professionals and how to put that a yarn across the table. And when we're just say, talking about the information that goes across the table, we're talking about educating the public as such, especially First Nation people, but also government as well to invest in what we're doing to make this a stronger space for information to be transferred, yeah?
And making sure our voices are clear, you know. Lots of people, still non-Indigenous people, tell us what's happening in a space. Like, I work in health research, so, you know, there's a lot of people telling you about Close the Gap and what's going on, but then us as Indigenous researchers, we know a completely different side of that story.
Yes.
So making sure that we're skilled enough to go and make sure our voices are heard and our community
yes.
voices are heard is a skill that we, you know, really need to learn how to do. So that's what this 2 days helped us do.
Well, I'm picking up what you're putting down, my sister. So
you're
doing great in regarding delivering that message. So, look, a very important space. And, look, thank you very much for sharing. And I think it's fantastic our First Nation professionals do get together and have the conversation and now have to work out how to put it out there. So, look, beautiful yarn. And thank you very much and all the best to you, Dr. Michelle.
Thanks, heaps. Have a good day.
You take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there with Sister Dr. Michelle Bovell, her name is, and she's with a group of professionals. They call it the IMP, the Indigenous Media Mentoring Program, and it's about delivering information after researchers, professionals they are, in researching in their profession as such and how to deliver that message across the airways, radio, media outlets, screen, print, and so very important, and sometimes it falls along the wayside because of the fact that there's sometimes a red tape, brick walls, whatever, in delivering the message. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. That's the number of your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from the Curry. I'm your host, taking you right through 12 noon Queensland time. It's 11:28. Add to the conversation, your mob, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
By the river, so I can take you by the hand, yeah. And we can walk and we can talk for hours and hours about nothing in particular at all. Wait, wait, wait. Can lay beside the ocean, fire now right, and the hammock on our left, and the waves at our feet, and the stars will be the only lights that we see, for the red and the blue and the yellow that the burning fire plays. Listen, listen, listen.
Five Rocks there, Busby Maru here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation. That number is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, you're yarning with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. And I'm live here at the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, so we go across the country, mob. Have your say and yarn up strong. Now, Australia remembers the bombing of Darwin, the 19th of February 2020. 2020 this year, is the 78th anniversary of the bombing by the Japanese in the Second World War, recognising a time when our shores came under direct fire, direct attack. Now, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Commissioner Donald Spinks, Department of Veteran Affairs Reparation on the line. And that's Commissioner Donald. Good morning. How are you?
G'day, Trevor. I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, Commissioner?
I'm talking to you out of Canberra.
Out of Canberra. Oh, fantastic. So, look, a very important date, and we come to the 78th anniversary of the bombing of Darwin. So put us in the picture, please.
Yeah, mate, obviously, and your lead-in was excellent. 78th anniversary, just celebrated on the 19th of the bombing of Darwin by the Japanese. This was a significant event because it was the first time that the Australian mainland had come under attack and was the beginning of a bombing campaign on northern Australia that lasted for over a year and a half.
Sure. To put it in the people's mind, well, the movie Australian with Nicole Kidman, that was virtually about it. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
The scenes in that, graphic scenes, were depicting, you know, the bombing of Darwin, so that's accurate.
Now, what do we do to in remembrance of this particular attack?
So, Trev, every year there's a commemorative service held in Darwin on the anniversary on the 19th to commemorate that event. It continues to grow as Australia remembers this historic day.
Mm.
This year, well over 3,000 people attended the commemorative service. And additionally, this year there was a commemorative service held to commemorate the sinking of the USS Peary, which was an American destroyer sunk on that day in the first wave, the first attack.
Was it a surprise attack? Were Australians, were we aware of the Japanese coming over?
There were some indications that the planes were coming, but because there were previous reports, people, whether they didn't take it seriously or they just didn't react quickly enough, I'm not to say on that, but certainly it was a surprise. And, you know, it followed on from the bombing of Pearl Harbor in December the year before.
Sure. And were there US Navy personnel in Darwin at the time?
Yes, there were. We had allies in Darwin, and on that particular day, as I've indicated, the USS Peary was sunk, and with the loss of 88 American sailors. So, tragic events.
Yeah, tragic events. Well, 78th anniversary, and there is the bombing of Darwin, and look, they speak of it, and they're making movies of it, you know, and it is a part of the history of the Big Island, our beautiful country, Australia, and how you say, lest we forget.
Yes, mate, absolutely.
Very good talking with you. Thank you very much, Commissioner Don Spinks. A very important date in our lives here in Australia. Thank you very much, but all the best, and we'll be talking soon.
Thanks again, Trevor, and really thank you for your interest in this significant commemorative event.
Fantastic. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
That's our Commissioner Don Spinks, Department of Veterans Affairs, Reparation Commissioner. And look, that marks the, it was only the 19th, well, was it a couple of days ago, 19th of February, was 78th anniversary of the bombing of Darwin. I've got family up that way, and big shout out to my family up that way, and one love. And look, a very important event. And we talk about the attack on Australia, but we as First Nation people, we think about, well, there was an attack in this country, and we're talking about frontier war. Add to that conversation. Please do, you mob, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black, and that is the bally one who's steering the ship. Trevor Tim Trinity Trev, I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, a voice for our people, a tool for our yarn. So do add to the yarn, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
All black memories I click on the streets. Pop, pop, in the back speaker. I'm sitting low with my fresh pair of sneakers. I'm marinating in my liquor, yeah, I'm thicker than my other sisters, we just like the pictures of. I'm on a Lisa hanging smoke from my mouth. Riding low, sipping, gripping grain in the south. Family for life, this one thing that I fight for. Dedicate this to my baby girl, firstborn. I wear my colors on the inside. Just sit back, enjoy the nightlife. When we ride, I confess the words that I bless. This is my loyalty down to my last breath. Vibrations straight up, unlimited destinations. Looking real deadly for a special occasion. Exclusive sister girl hip hop invasion. Hands on the wheel and the wind in my hair. Kicking with my girls, cause we just don't care. We're beautiful, we're black, and we bout to get loud. So turn up the music and let's roll out. Got my titties in the back, and we heading to the south. Showing you all what a black woman is about. We got the QLD, SA, and VIC. Lady Lash, Miss Hood, and the D-I-Z. This is an incredible exclusive production. Music is a passion, it's the way that we function. Aretha, coming at you with full force. Aretha, are we too deadly? Of course. I can finally let my head down and relax with the music's on lines, traditional sounds. Bring it back to them ages, all my ancestral lineage and dream time of a nation. So I guess we're getting reacquainted. Music is our backbone, our sisters help us make it. And our culture that led the foundation is healing in the wisdom of our future generations. Each moment's priceless, that's why we live on borrowed times. Press rewind to rewire your memories of fun. Better days with your family in the sunshine. We're soaking up the rays and leaving the worries and troubles behind. Can y'all feel that? That's called fulfillment. Got me and Lady Lasher dizzy doing a color millennial. We're killing a miss, the old sound bringing it back. Speaking on behalf of the masses, so Australia, where you at? Cause the week they got your back.
I'm with my girls and I ain't got no man. With the top down, the wind is blowing in my hair. We're just cruising, babe. We're just cruising, babe.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Strap on. Yeah, too deadly. It is National Talk Black. That deadly number again is 1-800-422-416. Add to the conversation. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Your host is the bully one, Trevor. Shut up. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, and I'm taking you right through 12 noon Queensland time. It is 11:40, so 20 minutes to go. Add to the conversation, Yarn Up Strong on National Talk Black. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS, and we're housed at the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM, Bumbo Brip Media. All right, a big shout out to Deadly Little Brother there, and that's Quaidin. Quaidin Bales, big shout out my brother and incident that happened and not very good. His lovely mother went on social media to talk about the incident, bullying that's going on for the young brother there. And Yaraka is the mother of Quaidin. And the Indigenous All-Stars football team have got behind him, rallied behind the bullying victim. And there's a nice shot there on Facebook as well with little Quaidin. In his little outfit, performing, dancing, nice little Carlin shot there from JT, Jonathan Thurston. And Quaidin said, the message from JT is, Quaidin, stay strong, buddy. You are loved, and to the bullies, this is not right. So there's
the message there. And look, it went on Facebook and made a lot of remarks to a lot of people's attention on what went down. But the Indigenous team invites bullying victim Quaden to lead them out for All-Stars game. The Indigenous All-Stars have rallied behind young Queensland boy who has received widespread support after his mother posted an emotional video of him on social media. The Indigenous side posted a message of support for 9-year-old Indigenous schoolboy Quaden Bales, asked him to lead the team onto the field for Saturday's clash with the Murray All-Stars at Gold Coast Seabus Super Stadium. So big shout out to the little brother there, and look, stay strong, and you're going to be leading the team out there. You're a winner, and look, it is so fantastic. And also make mention that he's the beautiful grandson of our mentor in this space, Indigenous media, and that's Uncle Tiger Bales, who's with us in spirit, and that is grandson. So he's a little fighter, don't worry about that, and he will bounce back. And it's great to see the All-Stars get behind him, and he's leading from the front, and then size got nothing to do with it. Big heart, too deadly. You mob, have your say. Yana Strong, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. And your host, Bully Bun, is Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right through 12 noon. And the program is National Talk Black. Want to hear what you've got to say. We're going to catch up with Yana. We've got Fabian on the line. Fabian, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good, mate. Good.
Where are you calling from, Fabian?
I'm calling from Noongar country.
All right, brother. And who are you mob?
My mob, Noongar.
Too late, brother. What you on the yarn about, Fabian?
I just want to find out, what are First Nations people of Australia?
Sorry, you got the radio on there behind you, brother? Can you turn that down?
Yeah.
Please? Yeah, thanks, brother. Yeah. And continue. Sorry, Fabian.
I just want to find out, what are First Nations people in Australia unite with each other and unite with other First Nations tribes before they can talk to the government and anyone else? Because at the moment, we've got no unity.
Got no unity, yes. Well, as you are probably aware, we had the Uluru Statement, and which is in the in tray. We got together as First Nation people in Alice Springs about a couple of years ago now, and that was the Uluru Statement, a statement from the heart and into our voice. But look, tried many times, and we're still doing it, but we're resilient people, and we'll continue to do it. But you make a good point, and that's what we're working towards, yes.
Because at the moment, there's two sides. There's the community people and the people working with government. And and the people working with government are not working with the community.
Mm.
And the people working with the community are not working with the government and the other elite class. And there's a problem here. There's no unity with the two factions. And I'm a bit frustrated and a bit concerned about that at the moment.
Yeah, it gets frustrating, doesn't it, Joe? When you look at the simplicity of communication, well, the simplicity is not happening, is what you're saying.
It's not really happening because the Conservatives, I call them the elite blacks, they're controlling the community people, and how close the gap are getting wider, and there's no talking, there's no dialogue between the two factions, and there's two different groups, and they're fighting among themselves, and the government and other people just watching off and just laughing at them.
Yep,
and
separation.
They're separating us, and we're not just one people.
Nah, sure.
Especially in the North Country. With two different factions fighting among themselves, and then I'm not sure what happens in other First Nations nations, but I believe they've got the same problem. You got the Conservative black and you got the community people, and they're both far apart. It's not funny.
Look, you make a very good point, and like I said, you're singing to the choir here, brother. That's how we all feel as First Nation people, and I think the division is great for the government. I've got to move on, but thank you for your call, Fabian. Deadly call there from Fabian, calling from Noongar country, and look, making a very, very important statement there. So, to Deadly Mob, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. We're live here at the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bummer, Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go by NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, I mentioned earlier about our little brother Quaden Bales and how he was treated regarding the bullying. And look, so lucky we've got his beautiful mother on the line, Yerrika. You there? Morning, sis. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay, thank you.
Yeah, good, sis. Thank you for coming to the program. First of all, sis, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Well, I'm born and raised in Redfern, represent South Sydney.
Yes.
On Gadigal country, but we live on Yagra country now up here in Brisbane. My three children were born here, but mum is Wanneroo and Bundjalung, so New South Wales Quarries, and dad is Birrigubba Gungaloo, with ties to just about everywhere here in Queensland, Central Queensland, North Queensland.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And your lovely father with us in spirit, and look, my mentor. Let's talk about little Quaden boy. How's he travelling?
It's been very overwhelming, but it's unbelievable the amount of support and, you know, everyone just reaching out and sending their love and people sharing their similar stories. It's really overwhelming.
Mm.
But, you know, he just said he had the worst day of his life and now he's having the best day of his life, bless him.
Too deadly. Is he back at school today?
No, we're having a meeting with them on Monday. So, yeah, we'll see what the solution will be and it'll be his decision if he wants to go back to school, if they put some, you know, some procedures in place to make it a culturally safe space and a place where bullies are disciplined, then he'll have no problem with readjusting back into the school community. But if not, then it'll be back to homeschooling because this has just been an ongoing challenge for his whole schooling life, unfortunately.
Look, a blessing comes in disguise and it's so sad, but your beautiful son looks like the angel in disguise to have this conversation that needs to be had across this country or across this globe, you know, and a strong and resilient little black man he is, you know, and it's very important that we have this conversation, but unfortunately those little strong shoulders are carrying this message.
Yeah, he's definitely been feeling a lot of pain physically, mentally and spiritually. You know, being an Aboriginal boy with a disability, it's a double-edged sword and people don't understand that, how difficult it is. You're already copping racism and then to have a disability on top of that, it's way too much for anyone to bear, let alone an innocent child that really doesn't understand, you know, why he's being targeted and even the physical abuse, the attacks in public. It's just been so much, and we've suffered in silence for so long, like so many other people, and unfortunately there's been way too many lives lost to bullying, you know. You look at our community and we've got the highest rates of suicide, and it's because a lot of us are living in fear. We don't want to, you know, like I have been suffering in silence for so long, listening and witnessing my son. His first suicide attempt was 6 years old. And to think that we are burying our babies as young as six and, you know, we've had eight-year-old funerals, it's an epidemic and something needs to be done because our communities are suffering majorly in this country.
And look, Yerrika, I think you will agree. Look, kids are kids and kids can be cruel, but you're not born with racism. It's passed down and so we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, yes?
Exactly, and that is our whole message, you know. We're not spreading, it's not about any message in particular. There are no hidden agendas. I shared that video out of frustration because we are in desperate need of help. I don't know what else to do. This is something we face every single day and the bullying campaigns are simply not enough. They're not working. We need to be doing more as individuals, families, communities and as a nation because this is a worldwide epidemic and there needs to be an international call to action because we're at crisis levels. We're losing way too many people, especially the young fellas in our communities that are just killing themselves at the highest rate.
Yes.
So for me, it's about raising more education and awareness around disabilities, around discrimination, and just spreading the love and kindness.
Yep.
You know, like it's not that hard to be kind.
Well, I always say life is simple, but people complicate it, you know, and we're having this conversation here on Murray Radio going across the nation. So here's another tool, another vehicle that we can talk for discussion.
Exactly.
Little Quaden boy, so he's travelling really good. He's at home. He's upbeat. So I believe he's going to lead the NRL Indigenous team out, All-Stars team out on the field on Saturday.
He is. We actually had to escape the madness at home yesterday. People were just rocking up to our house. So
you know.
We're invited to come down the Gold Coast. So we're here with the All-Stars camp and he's just hanging with all the uncles there and the teams and he's just forgetting about all the bullies, you know. It's just been a blessing in disguise. And there's always a positive to be drawn out of a negative. So it's just, you know, showing him that there are beautiful people out there. It's really instilled that faith in humanity back again to know that we've got so much love and support, not only from our mob and from other people with disabilities around the world, but just from, you know, people on a human level, people that are connecting and just reaching out. It's just, it's so beautiful to see the support, you know, around the world. It's just been so unbelievable.
Deadly. Sister Yerrika, just share with us a couple of the responses you got and from the globe, so to speak, because it made a global yarn. Just give us some good feedback there.
Well, I actually was contacted by an American comedian who has the same condition. He's got achondroplasia dwarfism like Caden. And he said, I'd love to be able to start a GoFundMe, get you guys over here, have a holiday, you know, bring Quaden over to Disneyland. And I was really uncomfortable, you know. I was like, okay, this is Quaden's dream here. So I said, okay. Quaden was like, yes, Mum, yes. And I'm like, no, I don't know how I feel. No good. He just wanted 10 grand to get us over and have a little holiday. It's now almost reaching $100,000. So this is just...
Look, it's meant to be. And like I said, your beautiful little man there, he can be the message carrier, carrying the torch, so to speak. So do not feel guilty taking that trip or taking that money. Use it as a tool.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the more we raise, the more awareness, the more campaigns, the more we can do, the more people we can reach. So it's definitely a stepping stone to be able to, you know, to get to where we want to be. And this is... You know, when it all blows over and the media dies down, all the attention dies down, we've got to remember that this is people's lives on the line. This is our kids' lives on the line. This is every day someone is killing themselves due to bullying.
Mm.
So, you know, we just need to keep the momentum going. Even when all the media and, you know, everything dies down, we are going to be still fighting the good fight and supporting other families that are going through this and sending our love to people that have already lost their babies to suicide. So,
yep.
It's an ongoing thing and we won't stop.
And we're talking bullying, stamp it out. We're talking racism, stamp it out. That's not only on black people. We're talking divorcism, you know, we're talking females, all the above. It needs to be stamped out. And look, thank you very much for sharing, my sister. Big love there to Quaden from Uncle Trev and all the mob here at Bummer Bipper Media and Two Deadly Sisters. And keep doing what you're doing. Stay strong. And he's going to lead that deadly team on Saturday night. There it is. That's a win straight away.
Definitely. It's going to be so good. Thank you to everyone. Thanks for your time and thanks for sharing the message and all the love. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, okay. You take care, my sister.
Will do. You too, brother.
Bye, darling. Two Deadly Beautiful Yande Yarraka, that's the mother of little Quaden, Quaden Bales, and the little brother who got bullied at school. And as his mother reckoned, it's a double-edged sword in regard to being a little Aboriginal boy, but also being having dwarfism with him, you know. He's born as a dwarf and has slapped with the bullying and staying strong there in the conversation. And he's leading the team out on Saturday night, the All-Stars Indigenous team. And they all got behind him. And now there's a GoFund page, and he's going to be travelling over to Disneyland. But it's not about that. It's about using that as a tool, as a message to deliver a message of stamping out all racism, all bullying. And we need to stop it. We need to come together as one. You might have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with Sowen. Sowen, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. You know, those two that couldn't be reported. I'd like to talk about it. Does it legitimise even more why we shouldn't be in the constitution?
Mm.
And does it legitimise our brother there, Tony Gibbs? He's got an Aboriginal passport. There are such things as Aboriginal passport. And you know, there's such an outrage about that.
Yes.
From mainstream Australian, but there was no outrage about Julian Assange, brother. And he got Australian citizenship, but they didn't say nothing much about him. No cry about America wanting to take him up there and charge him up there. Is it because Julian Assange was inspired by the black fellows in Townsville speaking out? Is that the only reason, brother? And brother, I was talking about like having leaders speak out like Marindu and Grace Wesley. But again, you were talking about your Tiger's daughter was on, and I saw an ITV about this panel. Tiger, Michael Mansell, Lila Watson, and Bob Wesrow. And Bob Wesrow brought it up, and he started talking about Annie Jean Phillips. Annie Jean Phillips, you know, she used to make coffee for the people that, you know, used to go to these rallies and all that.
Yes.
And then I watched the story about Joe McGinnis, and Joe McGinnis, they told the story about him taking fish in a suitcase down to Canberra, you know, for them conferences.
Mm.
And, you know, there are people in the background, but not all of us can be like Jesus on roller skate and go out there and do those things. And brother, I even been up channeling you, brother. Again, Tiger's daughter talking about bullying. My daughter, my 16 year old, she's back at school, and
yep.
I think, and I keep saying to them, they know you too, brother.
Definitely.
I think, remember, 2012 always say the cream will always rise to the top, and they're doing really good at school now, brother.
Good.
And I want to one more plug in for the parents of those kids that got into that that victim out there somewhere at Edmonton or somewhere, and the parents they put the kids in, and nobody ever, you know, just because they were actually kids, the white folks don't have a monopoly on disgust. We are just as much disgusted. And, you know, like Bob Hawke had a daughter, Neville Wran had a daughter, Michael Coleman, the journalist for Courier Mail, had a daughter. You know, even though they are good parents, you know, kids will be kids too, brother. And they attack our people because of their ethnicity, schoolies, brother. They don't attack those white people because of their ethnicity, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. To Delhi. Selwyn there, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Real robust conversations going on here on National Talk Black, voice for our people. And you mob can add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. But guess what, you mob, you have to do that tomorrow because Murray's going to sign off and back in the hot seat again, actually on Monday. So that Delhi number again, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text us 24/7 045 714 0550. And otherwise, check us out on Facebook as well. That's BBM 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, and we're housed at the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And big shout out to your mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Thank you for your company. Too deadly.
What are you worried for? You got the money, you got the love, you got it all, but you still.